Accession number 31427, Mr. Albert Clark, Reel 4. Now, we're talking about your time training with the Essex Regiment, the 1st Battalion, forming up at Miani Barracks, Colchester, from October 1950. Now, we're going through a typical day. Now, you've talked about drill. Now, what about PT, physical training? What different types of physical training did you do?
Right. We done, in the gym, we had press ups, running up to the wall and back again as far as you possibly go, laying on your back, raising your legs up until you almost sort of drop off, you know, you had to lower them down. Medicine ball, medicine ball, various things used to do that. But the one I used to like, I didn't mind doing, was climbing up the racks. But the one I used to detest was the rope. You know, the rope, for a big knotted rope, and you had to go right up to the top, ring that bell, and you're gonna come down. You said, "He didn't ring the bell. Go up again." Only for a mate. I used to hate that. And then, just general there. And then, right, you're all looking cold, he used to say. Take us out Abbey Fields, because that was all, it's probably built on now, but Abbey Fields. He used to go take us out there and double round there.
Running.
And I tell you what, you felt a bit of sweat coming down here after he left.
But running down the side
of his face. And that was it, you know. And then we...
Have you gone longer cross-country runs? Obviously, just ran...
Yeah. We done... through my training there, we done a 3 mile, like, sort of march, like, 3 mile. Then, as the period went on, we went on the ranges. Then we kind of... And then we done a 5 mile... 5 mile, but that was a little bit faster because you were getting more fitter and fitter, you know. And then we had to do a 10 mile, not FSMO, shirt sleeve order, boots and gaiters, but you had to wear your, for some unknown reason, your bayonet and scabbard on the side, but no pouches or nothing.
Now, these are route marches, not running, are they?
That false march.
False march, yeah.
False march. Oh, no, I forget what time, but I tell you what, it was by the front, steady double, you know. Jump. And they used to say, sing or double, you know. Sing or double. Double running. But then it eased you up, and a little while to run off, I suppose. But you used to have these here PTIs too, with the old red and black stripe here. He said, come on, Clark, or come on, so-and-so, you're lagging behind, you know. And then, anyway, he used to breathe a sigh. And after that, after you get off your 10-mile false march, as it were, you had a shower, and then you had to go into a barrack room, and then foot inspection. And then we used to have the army... talcum powder, foot powder they called it, white powder, and it used to be good gear, like, you know, and they used to dash the field, and that was it. Well, then I went on from there, then of course I
what other sort of exercises you, I mean, did you do boxing, for instance? I mean, did they box or
some of them did.
But you didn't.
But I... Oh, we had to do mealies. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Milling. Tell me about milling, because they often did that in the 50s in training. Tell me what milling is.
Milling is approximately four chaps getting put in a ring, and then I'd hit you, you'd hit him, and, you know, just toughening up, you know, hitting. Really hard, you know. Some of them, I've seen some of them with red marks and everything.
With gloves on?
Gloves, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, with gloves.
And is it the type where you weren't allowed to defend yourself? Because there's different types of milling.
No, well, I think we just I think we just did.
Just boxing four of you at once.
Yeah, you used to say he's the one about you, hit me too hard, you know. But we, because he used to keep an eye on you, you know. Right, change your hands, lads, you know, do out of there and go and do something else, you know, and all that. And it said all the old crap about the last one out sweeps up, because you're putting your gear on and you're sweaty and all like that, you know. Last one out sweeps up the big gymnasium, you know. But on the whole, good.
What about, did you do assault courses?
Down local, at Friday Woods.
What were they like?
Friday Woods, you'd march down there. You'd go over the brick walls, up ropes, through, invariably in the winter time when the ice used to be, walk through the ice and so forth, you know, then fall out for a smoke. I never smoked a cigarette in my life, but the other boys, you know, used to fall out, smoke, rest, like, you know. Then go on for another sort of march through the woods. Come back. And then through the training, that was like the assault courses and whatnot. You knew you'd done it by the time you know.
Did it make you fitter, or were you already fit?
Fit? No, I'll tell you what, it is all the process of toughening up, you know. Because while I was fit, I couldn't have done that. So it was a lead up. I'm only talking from my experience and all the hands that was with me, you know. You know.
Now, what about weapons training? Take me through that. You know, right through the whole process. Right.
Weapons training. The ones that I trained on, 303, Lee Enfield.
Now, tell me about that. How do they teach you? Because you didn't know anything about it, I presume, when you got in. No, how did they teach you?
You had a carder.
Clean,
you had
fire.
You had a... in a barrack room, this is your magazine, and so this is the spring, now you have to release the spring by this. The number one thing was that you had to make sure that the spring is oiled properly and cleaned. You would only replace a certain amount, I'll forget the amount, in the magazine, in the 303 rifle. But you had to leave two out. You know why? Because they jammed another two in and you'd never get a response. It used to overload the magazine, you know, on the bolt action. That was that.
So that first it's lectures and guidance.
Guidance.
How does it get more practical now?
More practical. Then you had to go down to the rifle range. You had to... peel off, step forward, load the magazine in front of everybody else, not allowed to, in front there, load it, right, fire, this is, the, I'm going through a procedure, it's true, what I do, fire two warning shots into the bank, that's into the, right, a long way, fire two shots up, invariably the blokes used to fire at the seagulls. But anyway, fired them off. And then going down. And then you had to, next one from there, at so many 100 yards, you had to run with the rifle, with safety catch on, and then down there. And then the last 100 yards, you had to fire as you're going along from the shoulder. So you was like this. Like this, you know, you're knackered, you know, by that time. I mean, for quite a few hundred yards back, you know. And then, but in the, when you used to do the fire off, like, you had to fire so many shots from a certain given area, and they used to check, paste up, see what your score was on your...
Was it a big shock to your shoulder the first time? Because, you know...
I'll tell you what, the 303, I hated it. I used to chuck my eyes. I just had to do it, but, you know. But I hated that one. the 303 Leonpool.
Were you a bad shot then? Because normally you shut your eyes, it's not good.
No, you know what I mean? What I mean is, not shut my eyes in light, but I used to, you know, wince, you know, because it give you a fair old punch.
So you didn't like it. Were you, you're a half-decent shot then, were you?
Yeah, I'll tell you something. That we then went on to Bren gun.
Now, hang on, let me finish the rifle bit.
Rifle.
So what did, I mean, did they improve your shooting? I mean, did it work?
Well, we did have to go down through that time various times. Not just the once, you know, we you know, more day more after day or
did through the week.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, the reports come back, you know, scrubbers and in and out, like, you know, the, you know.
What about bayonets? Because that's part of the rifle. I mean, did you do any bayonet training?
Only once, I remember that.
Do you remember what you had to do?
Yeah, we had to go out, and then we had this here rifle like on a 303, and we had to run forward, and then some order he gives stop, fix bayonets. So you fix bayonets. You charge forward, and then there was a sack-like bloke, looking like a sack, like a bloke hanging on a rope, and you just stab the hell out of it, you know what I mean? And then holler and shout. I think it was just to make the blokes more interested, you know. But that's what it was. That's all it was.
So it wasn't a big thing?
And I had done it personally only once.
Now, tell me about the Bren, then.
The Bren gun, right. I then was taught on the IAs of the Bren. One of them, IAs of the Bren, you know, you had to take them all to pieces, and then you had to know the piston group and reassemble, May West, ignore the first 4 inches. I don't know whether you've heard of it. Ignore the first 4 inches and the piston group like that. Gun fires one or two rounds, gun stops, blockage in the breech. Get one round, just go through it, puggle, puggle, puggle in there. Gun fires one or two more rounds, gun stops. Insufficient gas. Creep up the side, get out your number two wallet, your little, like a little spanner thing, and advance the gas. Bump, 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 gas, Bren fires one or two rounds more. Then gun stops. Empty magazine. Cut gun mag off. Fire to clear it. Right. Renew your next magazine. Clip her on. And I love the Bren gun.
Now, what was so good about it?
Good about it? Oh, lovely. It used to creep away from you. Right. There's one thing about you mustn't do. When he told you to run forward, for Christ's sake, don't get hold of the barrel, because that used to be blue.
The people hot
red, yeah, blue, hot. And then I liked the Bren gun, and
that was accurate, yeah. Was it, by reputation? How did you find it?
I was Bren gunner for a certain time on my pay book. I haven't got my pay book now. Bren gunner, and I got Bren gunner first class. And I think I'm right in saying we used to get about 2 or 3 pennies a week more that time of day.
So you were good on the Bren gun?
Bren gun, yeah. God, I tell you what, it was accurate and I loved it, you know what I mean? You know? And this, off the cuff, I can tell you about Sergeant Phillips, Busty Phillips, good bloke. He was an Irishman, you know? And he used to say, Clark, sit there, you know, fire that gun. And when I tell you clip on the magazines, you clip them on, and he just kept his finger on the trigger, and he just fired them off. And he said, right, to the bloke on the right, field raider, check up on number 10 range. And the sign come back, Sergeant, there's no sign left, because he knew he blew it to pieces, because what he'd done, when once they were in the rounds, in the magazines, took them out. He just fired them off. Yeah. But that was just off the cuff.
That's fine. But so, it's dead, for you, an accurate gun.
Yeah.
It was heavy.
that heavy it was. What was it about? I can't remember.
Don't worry, it's in boxing. Not that
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
But it was heavy.
It was a heavy one. But you had a side handle, of course, and a bat.
And were you trained as number one and two on the gun, I presume?
Well, no, that was a position that I got. My scores, I had to do a certain score. I was bring gunner, made bring gunner, and then from there, for accuracy, you know, inners and outers and balls and whatnot, what I used to wear, I got Brenner, gun, first class, the next one up.
Right, yeah. we'll follow that through.
It's only a degree, yeah.
Now, what are the weapons? How about, Sten. Tell me about that.
Sten gun. Number one thing, when you cock the gun, of course I say, Pete, keep that finger away.
The little finger.
Yeah, the little finger. Because the piston, or, you know, whatever way you hand, arm hold, but it's the little thing. Whatever way you grabbed hold of that, the piston group, you should go out and chop your finger off. That one finger. Right?
The little finger, yeah. Little on your left hand.
What is it? 14 mil, wasn't it? I think 14 mil. I should know.
The round.
The round.
I think it's 9, but I might be wrong.
Or 9. Or 9, yeah. Yeah, that was that Sten gun.
That now, was, what did you think of the Sten gun?
Well, it was all right. Actually, when I was in Korea, that's the one that I had in my truck. They used to take the 303 rifle when I had a Sten.
Now, there's some problems with the Sten, just to prompt you a bit. Yeah. So I'm only asking. Yeah. I mean, some people have said that it was very difficult to hit anything with it, and it didn't have much punch.
That's right.
Not much of a range.
No, it's just a house-to-house thing, you know what I mean? If you come in this room and you wanted to chase somebody out, you just, you know, it's a spread shot, you know. It's true. You couldn't aim, you know. You just go see somebody over there, you just wallop it.
So it's just to put a lot of fire at close range into an area.
Yeah.
So at that, it did its job, then?
Yes, yeah.
But the other thing is, people have also said it goes off if you drop it. Did you know that? Or did they tell you that?
I didn't know that, but I don't know whether... I doubt whether it had a safety on it, I'm sure. I'm not quite sure.
People said it went off with the safety.
Went off, yeah. Oh, jarred, yeah, because it...
But that's not something you knew.
No,
they didn't tell you, obviously.
No.
Now, what about grenades? What about...
36 mils.
What sort of grenade training did you get? What did you have to do?
Went to Abbey Fields, where we used to do our training, you know. And there was a great big wire, about 30 or 40 feet high, stretched across the field. You had dummy hand grenades, dummy, you know. And then you was taught, when you pulled the pin out, never to throw the pin away, ever, because you had to have it on your finger all the time. Reason being that if you was in action and you pulled it, you would have to get rid of it, right? And it would probably be in a dangerous area. So if you wanted to cancel, you could always got the pin on your finger and you could replace it, holding the key in, the side key, right? That's the number one about the hand grenades.
So what else?
Then we, as I say, we got taught how to throw over the length, the height, and the length there.
That's over this wire.
Right over this wire.
Now, what were you still using the cricket arm, the bowling action, or were you allowed to throw it as you like?
No, not sideways. You had to put one arm up, pointing towards the known target, and you bring it down towards your other foot.
Your right arm down.
Yeah, and over.
Like bowling, then?
Yeah, right, yeah. Over like that. Follow over for that. You know, they used to have 45 grand drums or old car at Colchester, you know.
Was it a weapon you were... Some people didn't like grenades. Were you comfortable with them?
The first time I got hold of it, went all through the training, went up on this bunker, you know, we all sat, you know, and Second Louis... was our officer, was there. She said, right, Clark, so-and-so, do exactly what you were taught of training, He said, and when I say down, down. Well, I tell you what, the very first grenade I ever threw, it went from here to about where the top of my windows were, and tick, you know, I heard the striker go, and I hit the deck. And he said to me, stand up. Look, I stood up, and blimey, as soon as I stood up, he said, down. You know, what I'd done was never disobedience or anything like that, but it was just the initial shock hearing that, right. And, you know, anyway, it went and jumped. The second one, because he used to give you two, was down at the feet there like that, you know. He threw one, and the second one, because every bloke, I mean, you take 30-odd blokes, that's a lot of grenade. You know, threw that one, perfectly all right. I heard it, I could see it, you know, the old blue smoke come out when it strike up in, the, and that was it. That's
my experience.
Yeah. I knew what the initial, if I had to do them out career or anything, I knew what to expect, if you know what I mean.
Did you do the 2-inch mortar? Some people did, some people didn't.
We had 2-inch mortars.
Did you do any training on them?
Not me.
There's a 2-inch, and then there's a 3-inch bigger.
3-inch.
And you wouldn't do the Vickers either, I presume?
We had our support company, we had Vickers.
Well, that's later on.
Brownings.
Not in the basic training,
though. No. The Vickers, where they cross legs, water cooled.
Yeah,
Vickers. Yeah, of course it was, yeah.
You had that in basic?
In the training, basic training.
That's about that.
But I never, ever fired on it, you know.
So it's just you had lectures on it?
Lectures on it, yeah. Water cooled. That's right, yeah, we did. But they had them in up there, you know, because that was one of the early parts of the gear, like, you know.
So all you've done is the theory of the Vickers. You haven't had any practical experience.
Not on the Vickers.
What about anti-tank weapons? I don't know whether the Piat was still with you or whether it had moved on to the rocket launcher.
I was taught on a Piat.
Tell us about the Piat, because that's a funny old weapon.
The Piat, they used to issue it, give it out to the biggest bloke. One of the biggest blokes, you turned it and you pulled it right up like that, till it clicked. And you could either knock a tank out or you could build it in a sandbagging placement, a slope like that, to lob a bomb over, and that was it.
And what was it like to fire? Because is it just like a big elastic band?
We only fired. Yeah, sorry.
Is that what it's like? I mean,
yeah, we only fired. Yeah, it was like as I can remember, just a sort of a whoosh like that, you know, and the bomb was gone, you know.
Was it rocket-powered or...
No, it was this bloody great spring. What you had to
stretch,
yeah. stretch it up until it clicks, and then turn the base thing, if you fitted it here, round to lock it on. And that's when you fired it off.
Now, any other weapons
The Energa bomb.
Tell us about that, because that's one that people don't know now.
We only trained on the Energa bomb, and then...
Are they rifle grenades?
The Energa bomb... They say, if I can tell you, they can say that every infantryman could knock a tank out. You had a 303 rifle, you had a cradle fitted on the end of your rifle, where your bayonet part goes, a ballistite cartridge, what it is virtually a blank without the warhead up the spout, ram that up, put the Energa bomb in your cradle, let it have it. And that used to go, it's like a grenade, it was like a grenade, and that used to hit four or five inches of steel, really thick, and it used to set up an acetylene burning. But I never fired that, no, never fired, but we trained on it. It used to set up, and the metal used to go inside a tank or a lorry, and that was it. It dug a, oh, terrible, you know. That was a real, that was our weapon, what we had. So Piat, projectile infantry anti-tank, and then we went on the Energa bomb.
Now, any other weapons?
Any other weapons?
I can't do any, but...
No, I mean, I keep quoting when we go out, because we had, obviously, had them out in Korea, like...
Now, What about any other training you got? Any tactical training, you know, where you went out practicing advancing, retreating, digging in, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, fieldcraft. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Tell us about fieldcraft.
Sorry? That's yeah, fieldcraft was go out. Done it in Salisbury Plain. No, Thetford. Thetford.
Yep, that sounds right.
Went up with Thetford, dug in, sleep rough, you know, through the night. I used to build your own bashes, like, you know, under your poncho cape or anything you could get hold of. Me being it. MT there, 1500 weight.
Now, you wouldn't be MT when you were at first training, would you?
No. They split us up. But I was MT, got introduced from...
After your basic.
After base, 6 weeks basic. But then we went to Elizabeth Barrett Minden.
Yeah, we'll come to that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you did fieldcraft training. And would that include how to move across open ground? That
yes,
formations?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us a bit about it.
Move through open ground, fieldcraft directly front, 12 o'clock, bushy top tree, 1 o'clock, bring you right into there, Bren gun, rapid fire, you know, it was all like that, cock gun, mag off, mag on, gun clear, sir, and all that, or sword, you know. Then learn about what ground to pick, you know. If you was out and you wouldn't go on a crevice, on a hill that shape, you'd pick a ditch or, you know, things like that, you know.
Camouflage.
And I had a camouflage, as I say, up in Thetford. I had a camouflage in my 15-hour.
But that's later, yeah.
And I'm very pleased.
I'll come back to that. So any other training you did in your basic 6 weeks?
No, a lot of pig drill square bashing. Lots and lots, you know.
Now, how were you getting on with the other recruits? Do you know what I mean? The lads you were with. What were they the same?
All the chaps, Essex Regiment at that time, they was all good, you know. Used to be really good. Myself, you know, I used to get on with the officers good.
But the recruits, were they the same? Any bullying amongst them?
No, never seen them. The only blokes that used to get a little bit not shirty is when they wouldn't be over, they was banged up in the garden. But no bullying, no. No, never.
Did you make any good friends amongst them? The lads?
Only when I was in training, like, you know, Creedy and different, named the blokes, you know, Dennis Creed and all like that, Darky Province from Ipswich and all that. I know all the different blokes.
You got on well.
Basically. I'm sorry, rattling the names off.
No, that's good.
But I can remember the names, you know. Yeah.
Now, what about the NCOs? What did you think of them? I mean, this is, let's see, it's a Corporal Brady, is it? And is it Sergeant Phillips, you know, but what were they like,
Sergeant,
your instructors?
Sergeant Busty Phillips, on parade, off parade, good, very good, you know what I mean, it was good.
Did they know the stuff?
They did. Sergeant Phillips had been trained with the Royal Marines up in Norway, all the cold, they knew stuff, and Corporal Brady went on to be, I met him in Wally Barracks where I got demobbed. He was a two-pepper officer.
And would they shout and swear at you? What was their attitude to you? Was it harsh or was it...
Oh, they used to do plenty of hollering. Oh, yeah.
Did they swear much?
I've been called a ruptured duck and a pregnant prawn and...
That's not swearing.
No,
I mean,
no.
That's
no.
Just, oh, it's insulting, yeah, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what I mean.
So they didn't swear that much?
No. Well, I suppose the odd occasion, yeah.
But not excessive?
No, not excessive, no. Honestly, they was...
And they were fair?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Within their lights?
If you done your job, and towed the line, they was all right. I never got in no no discipline, you know.